Well, it's my privilege to introduce this. I call herself a young lady. She's very young. She looks more like her daughter's sisters rather than their mother. And I met Jenny when she was about my Lizzie's age, about 19, 20 years old. And it's just been my privilege to watch her get planted, grow, bloom, and then produce fruit. She's just been so faithful in everything she lays her hand to do, and not only in her family, but in the church. I see the interaction she has with our youth and what she's planted of her time and her love to be with our young people and then to watch them come to fruition. I know she's been a really influential with my daughter Lizzie, done so much for her and considers her a friend. So, personally, I thank you for what you've done for me personally, but it just blesses me to see the fruition in your life and in your family, knowing where when you first came in. And not knowing the Lord and what He's done, and what a fun example for all of us. Lord, I just lift up Jenny to you, Father. Lord, let your hand be upon her. Father, that you would just speak through her, that you would touch our hearts, that our hearts would be open, Father, to hear what you have put in her, Father, to share with us. Thank you, Lord. And we ask your blessing upon this morning. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen.
Well, ladies, I want to say thank you so much for attending. All I kept hearing was is the sheet of women kept adding on, kept getting longer and longer and longer. They would have to flip it over, and there was more and more women's names on the list. I was excited to see that so many women wanted to come out and hear my testimony, but then I was also very nervous. And at first, the fear came in of, oh my gosh, there's so many eyes looking at me, so quiet, like a library. But I've known you guys for so many years, and I've got to know you so well. I was like, this has to be comfortable for me. But the enemy kept trying to come and attack my joy every day. When Carol asked me to do this, I was like, are you sure you want me to say my testimony? And it's like, it's kind of bland, it's kind of boring. And she's like, I really want you to tell these women your story. Because I know you, but a lot of you don't know my story. And when I got the chance to actually sit down and study and reflect back into my life of where I came from starting out knowing Laura when my husband went to Jamaica almost 16 years ago, and seeing Lizzie when she was super small, and to see her in my life now, it's amazing. I'm like, so much growth has happened, and it's been a great growth. I mean, there's always been those, stumbles and those falls, but God has always been there to really build me up and strengthen me. One, I have to say thanks to all my friends who were texting me last night, giving me prayers, sending me Facebook messages saying that they were praying for me. I really appreciate it because the young ladies, Ashley, Chelsea, Jessica, everyone kept texting me last night saying, you're going to do great. I'm like, I'm glad you guys have this confidence in me, but I'm still really nervous. But first I want to say is I came to this church in ninth grade with Jennifer Cassidy, and I spent the night at her house. I stayed with Sharon and Bob, just one night because I went to school with her, and she said, come to church with me. I said, okay. So I sat in the pew, and at that time, all the ladies would get up and start singing in the aisle or dancing in the aisleways. And I looked at Jennifer and I said, what kind of church do you go to? I was like, I've never seen that. We came from a Catholic background, as you would say. We would go once in a while, but you sat down, stood up, you said what the pastor said to say, and that was it. So Jennifer's like, just don't mind it. Just don't judge me. And I'm like, don't worry, I won't. But to come back here so many years later to be grounded in this church was amazing. It was just one of those things that God had opened up the doors for me. Let me begin my testimony. I was about 7 months pregnant when Ed first started coming to this church. He met Aunt Betty. Aunt Betty invited him out and said, come on out to church. And he was always searching for something but could never find what he was looking for. When he came here, he came by himself. I wasn't coming with him. I really wasn't ready to go to church, to give my Sundays up, to give my time. When he first started coming to church, he was convicted on his heart because him and I, we were living together. We were just about to have a baby. And he went to Pastor Don and said, what should I do? And he says, well, do you love the girl? He says, yeah, I do. Now, mind you, we were living together, having a baby. I was a smoker. He wasn't going to marry a smoker. And Pastor Don told him, well, if you love her, you need to marry her. I was like, I've been asking you for years to marry me, and this man comes in and says, marry me. And he came home and he says, we're getting married. We got married in 2 weeks. We stopped all relations when he said we're getting married. And let me tell you, I was a bad girl. I tempted him every day. Every day. He was not, he's like, you're a devil. I said, I'm going to get you. He never broke. He was true to his word. He was very convicted of what we were doing. So when we got married, there's a few of you that had come to our wedding. I know Deb and Ken O'Rourke, they're a big part of our lives. When we first started coming to church, let me back up a little bit. When we got married, we had Taylor. Ed was coming to church already, so he was coming to church by himself with a brand new baby without me. So when Ed would come home and I'd say, well, how was church? And he says, oh, it was great. You know, you need to come. You know, this Sunday's Bring a Friend Sunday. I said, oh, okay. He says, well, will you be my friend? I'm like, I'm your wife. How can I be your friend? That doesn't make any sense. He says, no, really, this Sunday's Bring a Friend Sunday. He said that to me every single week. He was on me every single week to get me to come to church. And I said, all right, I'll give in and I'll go to church. And I had told Jessica, I said, listen, if I'm going, you're going. We do this together as a team. And if I'm going to go to church, you're coming along with me. So when we first came to the church, I felt welcomed because everyone already knew my husband and my daughter. So it already broke up that awkwardness that I didn't know anybody, but they knew my family. So you feel that connection right away. So it's kind of neat how that happens. That, hey, you know, I've seen your daughter, and she's so cute, she's so little, and we thought your husband, they thought he was a single dad because I didn't come to church. So when I had started coming, I said, well, you know, I'll give this a chance. I'll see what this church stuff's like. And thank goodness for the O'Rourkes, because Deb and Ken really helped me understand the word, helped me understand worship, helped me understand prayer time, being by yourself with the Lord. There were so many things that I didn't understand because I was a brand new Christian. I was just new at that. And the unknowing and then hearing about everyone's joy and happiness and blessings, it was, I could see it, but I didn't get it. I really truly didn't understand it for myself. I gave my heart to the Lord in the year 2000. When you're a brand new Christian, you're on fire. I mean, it's like the best feeling in the world. You feel like you can accomplish anything. You feel the joy. You feel you want to tell everyone. It's like seeing a movie for the first time, and you're like, this is the best movie ever. You tell all of your friends. It's like knowing the Lord. You want to tell somebody. You're just, I mean, on fire of, you gotta see what I see. You gotta understand what I understand. And you see everything from, like, I want to say a viewpoint, but when you really press in is when you have to start dealing with things on your own. And my hardship was the faith. Now, reading the Bible every night, I didn't understand it, but Ed kept telling me, he said, just keep reading it. It'll click, don't worry. So, you know, it's hard. And when I would hear Deb quote scripture, I'm like, how does she do that? You know, she's like, it's a lot of work. You have to be dedicated. You have to dedicate yourself. And that was the thing. If you're a Christian, you got to dedicate yourself every day, no matter what. You're a Christian as soon as you wake up. You pick up that cross and you walk with it every day. My struggle, again, was having faith. I would always come across the scripture, live by faith, not by sight. That was like a big thing for me to understand. If I could see $500 in my bank account, I knew I had $500 I can spend. If I had $2 in the bank account, I knew I couldn't spend any money. Like, it was sight. I saw it. But to live by faith, that was like making me step out of my comfort zone. And God knew he had to show me things in my life to understand that I needed faith in him. Now, I knew who he was. I saw everybody being blessed. They would get up on the mic and they'd say, the Lord blessed me in this way and this way. And I had faith and I had faith. I'm like, I couldn't get it. But reflecting back into doing this study for myself and to tell my testimony, I got to see how the Lord really built my faith through the years. When Ed and I first became junior youth teachers, we, brand new at junior youth, we lived paycheck to paycheck. We told the junior youth kids, we said, if you guys know the scripture on Sunday, we're going to buy pizza for you guys on Wednesday. Now, on Wednesday, we had $10 in the bank account. $10. And I told Ed, I said, how are we going to buy pizza for these kids? This is great. This is our gas money. He said, you just have to have faith. I'm like, listen, I worry. I worry and I stress. I'm like, we're going to borrow the money from somebody. He said, I'm not borrowing money from anybody. He's like, I'm going to have faith that God will honor us. He knows what we told these kids that we were going to do. He's going to honor us. The neighbor next door to us in Detroit, Ed would plow her snow every year. On Wednesday, the daughter came to our house because Ed plowed her snow on Monday. on Wednesday afternoon, Ed's at work. She knocks on the door, and she hands me 2 boxes of a gift for Taylor and Mia and a card. And open up the card. It's $50 in their cash. I was like, how did you know? Calling Ed, and I'm going, I can't believe this happened. He said, I told you, you have to have faith. And in the whole time of me coming to the Lord, he'd always tell me, just trust me. I'd hear it. But again, when you don't see it and you don't experience it in life, it's really hard. Coming from a family that, when I was first becoming a Christian, they said, you got to be careful of that church. You know, there's a lot of cults out there, Jenny. They're going to want your time. They're going to want your money. You know, you got to be real careful of who you hook up with because, you know, they get real radical. And it's scary. When you have your family telling you this in your ear, and then you have your husband in this ear going, come to church with me, be my friend. It's like a balance. It's hard. It's especially very hard when you're a brand new Christian. Another moment of faith. I went to a Nancy Englehart conference. It was a great conference. My very first conference. Loved it. Enjoyed it. Had a great time. I was working at Ford Motor Company with my mother-in-law at the time. Ed worked nights. I worked days. So we did not see each other all week long. It was a struggle. But I felt that I had to work to help pay bills. And it was not a comprehension to me that being a mom was a full-time job and to stay home and raise the kids. I felt that I needed to contribute with money. And money was going to take care of it all. I wasn't having any faith yet. So I worked. I paid the babysitter. We were probably bringing home like about $300 extra a month. And we had talked about me quitting. And I said, listen, we need that extra $300. I understand we pay the sitter, but listen, this money helps. This gets us through the week. He says, you have to have faith that God's really going to provide. And we talked about it, and it just, I'm like, God, I can't see it. I don't understand yet. So when we went to the conference, God spoke to me. I had my head down, and I was praying, and God lifted my head up. And I was like, that was weird. I'm going to do that again. So I put my head down, and my head naturally went up. He's like, no, you need to put your eyes on me, not down. He says, don't put your head down. Bring your head up. Have faith in me. Live by me. And I was like, there's no way. He said, I want you to quit your job. I was like, you want me to quit? What? Ford Motor Company? I was having a great job, good money. Granted, I wasn't bringing all of it home, but to have the Lord really speak to you and say, I want you to quit your job. It's going to bless your family. When you're in the moment, when you're at a conference, you're all excited and joyful, and you're just excited in the joy of being with your lady friends and, you know, listening to worship. But when you get home and it sets in, you're like, did I really hear the Lord? Did I really hear what he had to say to me? Because you second-guess yourself. You do. And I went home. I wrote Ed a 2-page letter when I was gone. And I said, this is what God put on my heart. He wants me to quit my job. He says, then you go for it. 3 days later, I put my 2 weeks' notice in, quit. 3 days to the day, my husband quitting his job, he got a $300 raise in his paycheck that we brought home. It's like the faith, building my faith, building my trust in him to know that he's always there. And he would always tell me, just trust me. Now, the next part of my life has to do with Kathy Rowe. 10 years ago, my dad had a heart attack. And he had to go in the hospital for about a month. And he had a surgery. It didn't work at all. The skin around his heart was growing very hard, and they had to go in and remove it. They had to do an open-heart surgery. She calls me the day before his surgery. He was staying with me for that few weeks because I felt like I had to take care of him. I'm like the biggest mom in the world. I'm the mom to everybody. She came over, and she prayed for him. Now it was my dad in the middle, myself on the side, and Kathy. And I never seen my dad cry as much as he did that day. In my notes, it says, don't cry, Jenny. I want you to know that. It does. It says, don't cry. Now, all of us having fathers, and my dad was just really close to me. Him and I became very close as soon as I had our first daughter. So for him to have open-heart surgery was a big thing. I was so scared for him. I was so worried. I mean, I prayed every day. I was like, Lord, please don't let this happen. Because you never know what's going to happen. I mean, when you have to have open heart surgery, I mean, they bust your ribs open. I was like, my dad's so little. He's so fragile. I'm like, he can't handle it. She came home and she prayed. My dad cried so hard. I felt that he felt the Lord. I know he did. The next day, I drove him down to Ann Arbor Hospital. They said, we're going to take pictures of your heart before we do the surgery again. They walked my dad out and they said, there's nothing wrong with your heart. There's no skin around your heart. You are absolutely healed. I was like devastated. I'm in there. I'm crying and crying and crying and keeping the tissues in my pocket. And I'm like, what? Like, okay, something I did not see coming at all. My faith was not in the doctors. I mean, my faith was in what was going to happen outward. I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm going to have to take care of him for a long time, and he's going to be super sick, and I'm going to have to get Social Security for him. It was just a mess. But not having faith of that God was in control the whole time. But where was I put? I kept praying, and he heard my prayers. He heard every single word, and he listened, and he loved my words. He dwelled on them. He just enjoyed me coming to him every day. Lay them at my feet. That's all I ask you. Just lay those worries at my feet. I will take care of you, Jenny. But in my mind of being the mom and being the one who wants to take care of everyone, I was like, I had to do it physically. It's in my sight. That's the thing. It was in my sight. I got through that. Well, wow, I was proud of myself. it was about 10 years ago. Ed Trout was here, and he had Ed and I stand up. We had three kids, three small children at the time, Taylor, Mia, and Autumn. Autumn was just a little over a year old. So I was a stay-at-home mom. You're in the house all day long. You don't get to talk to grown-ups. You have Sesame Street on 24/7 or Barney. The Barney song's playing in your head. Like, you can't get them out. Or Dora, when Dora was out. I mean, you started learning Spanish, which was good. I mean, it was a good thing. But when you are stuck in the house all day long and you see your husband leave every day, I'm like, you get to go talk to grown-ups and that's not fair. And he says, you get to stay home. That's not fair. Like, so it was me understanding that he would work to support us, to stay home, and to be a family. I wanted to be a mom, to love my kids, and to be there for them. But it's hard in the beginning because it's the treacherous things all day long, the same monotonous, get up, feed the kids, take a nap, do laundry. That plays in your head to where the enemy can start to just really make you have doubts of yourself. Put the depression in you because you don't get out. You're not talking with people. You can put worship music on, but it doesn't get you out of the realm of your home is what I'm saying. Ed Trout had asked Ed and I to stand up. And he said to me, and he looked at me, and he just fixated his eyes on me, and he kept telling me what a wonderful mother I was because I was having doubts about being a mom. I didn't think I was doing it right. I didn't think I was steering them in the right direction. I didn't have patience. I had no self-control because you got three of them, one of you, you're totally outbeat all day long. I just felt overwhelmed. I'm like, am I doing this right? Am I doing what you want me to do, Lord? Am I telling these kids the right thing? Am I reading the right Bible scriptures to them? Am I telling them, you know, Jesus loves you, you know, the Bible says so. Am I telling them goodness to build them up in their life? And Ed Trout looked at me, and I have it on tape, and I absolutely love it. But he looked at me, and he told me what a good mother I was, how much the Lord was so pleased with everything that I was doing, and how much he loved me for what I was doing, and how much I would bless others. Now, hearing all that, being a new Christian, would never have thought in a million years I'd have all this youth come back to me in my life. But when I was in that moment of being a mom, I broke down because there was no way anyone would have ever known what was going through my head except God. And for God to use Ed to tell me those words, I was a bawling wreck. I got out of my seat, I got out of the pew, and I went up to the front and I hugged him. Everyone thought I was leaving. You heard everyone go, what's she doing? What's she doing? I went up to the front and I hugged him because I was so joyful that God heard my voice. It took him to tell me, because he was telling me at home, but I had all the distractions of Dora and Barney and cooking and cleaning. He was telling me, Jenny, you're doing fine. But I had to hear it from somebody else. It couldn't have been from my husband. It couldn't have been from Debbie. It couldn't be nobody. It had to be from God himself. And he spoke that in front of all of my friends, where I was like, there's no way that this man could have ever known what I was going through. I mean, there's times that your husband comes home and you don't even tell him. You're like, I don't even want to talk about it anymore. Because you've played it over your head over and over again. But God understands. And he does those divine times to get your attention where you talk to your kids and you say, now I want you to listen to me. And when you say that to your kids, how those words speak right back to you of the Lord saying, I want you to listen to me. Because it gets you. It does. So, I mean, my walk in my faith just it grew so much of these moments of my life when I got to reflect back of how the Lord really built my faith and built my trust in him because I had to trust him. And it took those times of where I was like, okay, my hands were down. I was like, I don't want to do it anymore. I can't do it. I'm not strong enough. Lord, I know you're strong enough. I know you can handle this because you will take control. It was the true letting go. How many of us women let go of something but hold on to it just a little bit? You're like, if you don't got the time, I'll make time to take care of this little problem. Guilty. I would do it all the time. But I knew that having the Lord in my life, he was directing me. He was giving me wisdom. He put the right people in my life. I can't tell you how many times I would call Debbie and I was crying or I didn't understand something or I couldn't understand why my family couldn't get it. She's like, listen, one step at a time, you take care of yourself and let them see the blessings of your life and it'll be a trickle effect. I'm like, I don't get it. I just don't get it. I want to talk about my favorite scripture in the Bible, the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Those are things I didn't have. But I wanted it. And I wanted it now. I had no patience for it. I wanted it. I wanted all that. I saw the women in the church, and I saw their joy. I saw their happiness. I saw the way that they look at their husbands. I saw that they were patient with their children. I know I use Debbie O'Rourke a lot, but when her kids were smaller and her boys would jump all over the house, she would sit there calmly in her chair. Don't hurt yourselves. If you fall off the chair, don't come to me. She was patient. I'm like, I'm biting my nails. I'm like, they're going to fall. She's like, listen, you can't tell them. They'll learn. And I was like, okay, I want those patients, but I want it now. I want all that now. Now, years ago, Yvonne Cormorgan had us over her house for a pajama party. And we went over there in our pajamas, we watched movies, and we were talking, just fellowshipping a little bit. She told us this, she was just telling us a little bit about her husband. She says, I love the fact when Jim comes home, I hear him pull up in the driveway, and I get so excited. I was like, why? I mean, you just had a long day with your kids. Don't you want to go to bed? She's like, I put a pot of coffee on, and I sit at the table, and I wait for him to come home, and we talk. I'm like, about what? Like, I didn't get it. I just didn't get it. I said, you wait for him to talk to him. I mean, you were busy all day with your kids. He's busy at work. Like, what connection? Where? I mean, I just didn't understand. And she's like, I just love to sit and listen to him about his day. I'm like, okay, that's probably really boring, though, right? And she's like, I understand that he's away from me all day long, and I'm away from him. But if I enjoy what he has to tell me, he's going to enjoy what I have to tell him. She says, it's like putting logs on a fire for a relationship. You can put those logs on every single day, and you build that fire. But once you stop putting those logs on, when you stop desiring to spend that time with your husband or stop desiring to spend that time with your friends, that's when that fire dwindles down. It's you that has to keep putting those logs on that fire. You have to keep that desire going, no matter what. Doesn't matter how you feel. There's that he said, I get up, and I don't feel like going to work. But you know what? I have to go to work. And you know what? I want to enjoy my husband. I want to enjoy his time. So if that makes him happy, that will make me happy. Because it says in Psalms 37:4, delight yourself in the Lord, and I will give you the desires of your heart. So when I saw that desire in her heart, I was like, I want that. But God had to do change in me. I had to be pruned. I had to learn how to be patient and understanding, listen, be gentle with my words. When I would see women look at their husbands and look at them with the eyes of, like, the first time dating, and they don't interrupt them when they're talking, I was like, I want that. How do they do that? And God would show me and walk me through things in my life of, you have to be patient, you have to be kind, you have to be gentle. The same way I am with you. I'm showing you, but it was a work in progress in myself. It was those desires that I wanted to have with my friends. When they talk, I want to be patient with them. I want to be understanding. I don't want to be quick to cut them off. I don't want to be quick to give my opinion. I want to listen to them, talk with them, pray about things. and ask God for wisdom and not for myself. Because I want God to glorify all the things that I do. Like I said, I have a lot of the youth that come over my house. And I always pray that God gives me the directions and gives me the wisdom and the words to say to these young people, because I never want to steer them in the wrong way. I was so fortunate that I was steered in such a right way. I had so many good women in my life in this church. It's amazing. I absolutely am so grateful for where I'm at and what God has done in my life. But when he saw those desires, and when I delighted myself in him, when I picked up the word and I delighted myself in him and just enjoyed his message, enjoyed his words, he put those desires in me to desire my friends, to desire coming to church, to fellowship, to worship. Now, let me tell you, this wasn't a desire for me to stand up in front and talk to you guys. I did not desire this whatsoever. But when I got to have that time by myself, to really enjoy the quiet time by myself with the Lord, it was amazing. He showed me so many different things of how I've changed and how the fruits of the Spirit have applied in my life. How I was angry when I would slam the cupboards with my husband because I was angry just to get his attention. Like, that's not how you get your husband's attention, Jenny. Patience, gentleness, kindness. But I had to do the works. I had to desire him for him to desire to prune me. I always refer to everything as a tree where you're grounded, your roots are strong, but there are branches that go in different directions. They have to be cut off. Nope, you're going in the wrong direction. I'm going to cut you off here. I'm going to trim you off here, just a little bit off the top on this side. But he did those works in me because he saw the desires in my heart. And how I'm so grateful for where I'm at today. From 16 years ago, from meeting Laura for the first time and seeing Lizzie run around her front yard as a little girl and my little Taylor trying to follow her around. And to see now that my Lizzie talks to Taylor and encourages her and loves on her. How God has an intervening way of bringing us closer together. You don't see it. I didn't see it then. But my walk with the Lord was a true walk. I like to say that my walk was a walk of the same way you walk through your neighborhood and you admire the trees and your neighbor's house and the yards and the kids playing. The Lord's always walked with me. He showed me where I needed correction, but he always walked with me. He never pushed me. He never shoved me. He never told me that this is what I have to do. But he did put those desires in my heart of things to do. Now, this was a great thing. I'm grateful that Carol had asked me to do this. I'm grateful that all of you had the confidence in me that I could talk up here without being extremely nervous. But I thank you for all of your friendships, because all of you have been a great part of my life. I'm so grateful that all of my family decided to come and support me. God has truly changed my life, and I could never see myself in another way. Never. Ever. When you're a Christian and you see the world, and then you see the world through a Christian's eyes, you're like, you would never want to go back because it's just that nasty. But I'm so grateful that the Lord has brought me here and has changed me. And I know it's a continual process, and I'm so grateful that he's still doing that in me. He hasn't stopped. I enjoy it. I mean, it's work. No one likes work. Everyone hates a W word. No one likes that one. I don't. But it's a true work in him, and that glorifies him. And that's what I'm truly grateful for. So I really want to thank you ladies for listening to my testimony and being there through my walk and being joyful for me in this next chapter of my life of speaking. So thank you very much, ladies.
Good job. I'm glad I asked you. And I'm glad you said yes.
Thank you very much.
All right. Yay. That was really good. You did a wonderful job. I just wanted you to get to know her because she's a hard worker. She has a lot of wisdom, and it's good to hear her story. And right now we're gonna close in prayer, and then you guys can fellowship all you want. There's probably still some food in there if you want. All right. Hallelujah, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for this word from Jenny about her walk of faith. I pray that it touches all our hearts, Lord, and that we would remember it, because we all have our own story and our own walk in faith, Lord God. And I pray that you would help strengthen us and help us to be women of faith, to hear you and know that you are patient with us, Lord God, and that we need to be patient with ourselves, because you see that good thing within us, Lord God. and you're always there for us. And I thank you, Lord God. I thank you for all these women. And I just pray that you would bless their day. In Jesus' name, amen.